All selling takes place in the marketplace. Back in the day, that exclusively meant loading up the cart and going to an actual physical marketplace. You would set up a stall or a table and flog your goods to the people who showed up. Think of traditional businesses, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker.
So I'm Michael Morris. I am the founder of a company called the Bearded Candlemakers. So we're candlemakers based in Belfast.
Then things progressed and we decided it would be really great if we could buy stuff even when the market isn't open. So we opened up shops that stayed open consistently almost every day. Think of your corner shops, your shoe cobblers, and eventually the high street retail establishments that we know and love today.
Because I noticed when I've sold in Topshop in Victoria Square in Belfast, it wasn't the same.
But then something called the internet came along. And we said, wouldn't it be great if we could shop anytime we wanted, 24/7, and buy anything from anywhere in the world? That changed, well, everything. As a young entrepreneur, it can be easy to feel overwhelmed by the modern marketplace. There's so many things to consider and places to sell. And also, it's incredibly crowded.
You are on the internet.
But the good news is that no matter how much the marketplace changes, the core principles of selling don't.
Meet and greet, qualification, features and benefits, trial close, close them again. That's it in a nutshell.
This episode is all about selling your first product. How to go out there and do it. How to persuade someone, even a stranger, that what we've made is worth exchanging for money. How to get them to stop and look to begin with, and how to somehow figure out how to make money in the process. All this and more coming up in today's show. Hello and welcome to Young Entrepreneur, a podcast where we teach young people just like you the essentials of starting and running your own business. The show is produced by Young Enterprise Northern Ireland, a charity focused on promoting entrepreneurship in my home city, Belfast, and beyond. Me? Well, my name is Matthew Thompson. I'm a 23-year-old entrepreneur, and I'm really excited to have you here for episode number 5. It's all about selling, and we're going to jump straight into it. Really hope that you enjoy. Okay, so you've come up with the idea, you've made it happen, you branded it, you built the team, now you just have to sell it. But how? It's easier said than done, and it's actually something that not a lot of people have ever even tried before. I remember whenever I was younger, I would always get in trouble for selling stuff, whether it was taking stuff from the house and flogging it at a car boot sale, or selling donuts and cookies in school, all that sort of stuff. But it's different whenever it's something that you've made yourself. I remember for us and our young enterprise team, getting all of our t-shirts ready to go. We had put in so much effort and so much energy into coming up with these ideas and getting everything just right. And then it just kind of dawned on us, oh my goodness, we need to actually go out and sell these. You see, until you make that first sale, you're not even really a business. Selling what you've made is the difference between a hobbyist and an entrepreneur. Testing to see if the world actually wants what you've made is the only true way to know if your business is on track, or if you need to make some tweaks, or maybe even go back to the drawing board. If you're currently doing a young enterprise program, then you've reached the point of the year where it's time to get out there and start selling. Whether it's trade fairs, setting up stalls in shopping centers, or even heading to the big market in St. George's. It can be incredibly exciting, but if we're honest, also a little daunting. There's a lot to think about, and there's a lot to prep. How do I decorate my table? Do I need a banner for my stall? How many products do I need to bring or make? How much should I sell them for? How can I engage with the people walking past? And how do I even sell in general? Fortunately, we've brought in 3 experts on the topic who can answer these questions for us. These people spend their lives doing this for a living, and I know that they'll give you loads of great ideas and advice on how to make it happen.
I'm Michael Morris. I am the founder of a company called the Bearded Candlemakers. So we're candlemakers based in Belfast.
Unbelievable. And really quickly, tell us a little bit about the candles you make. Like, what makes them different from the stuff that you buy in the shop?
So big thing is that we create scented candles, and the scents are inspired by memories and stories and things and places that I either fell in love in or fell in love with. And as well as the wax, we actually use like a very natural wax, soy wax, which burns longer and better than most other candles.
Unbelievable. And how did you start selling candles?
So whenever we'd kind of gotten the processes down in terms of how to make candles and how to send them, with markets, you know, so we'd done a small market called the Fine Dandy, and that led on to St. George's Market, you know, just kind of putting ourselves in front of people so they could ask us what the candles were about, and we're in a place to answer those questions.
That's unreal, because a lot of the young people listening to this podcast are actually going to be selling their products for the first time in St. George's Market. Brilliant. In a few days.
Awesome.
So the next question I had for you ties in perfectly, was what tips and tricks have you sort of picked up over the years of selling to real life people in a market environment?
It sounds very obvious, but make it obvious what you're selling. You know, if someone's walking past your stall, you may have 2 seconds for them to kind of get what you're doing. And my first few stalls were so elaborate that no one knew I sold candles. You know, it sounds insane. There were candles sitting there, but it had all these here fancy sort of backdrops and props. But it was just too much, you know. And when I simplified the stall, that's whenever people didn't have to stop and think too much. So yeah, make it super obvious what it is. You know, even if it's candles, have a big banner and somewhere on it have candles. You know, my first banner had the bearded candlemakers and this here real sort of fancy writing, but no one could read it.
Interesting.
You know, so super obvious.
Cool. And how do you figure out how to price your products, and how do you manage the stock flow that kind of markets bring?
Well, pricing is so important. Again, I got it so wrong at the start. You know, I started off too cheap. You know, what you want to do for your pricing is imagine how much it's going to cost in a shop and match that there. So you would try and get your base costs, and a lot of companies would multiply them by 3. And then you have like your retail markup after that there. You sell that top price. Because if you carry on and you're very successful, you know, your prices carry through. And if you have a shop selling your stuff at one price and you have it selling another price, it's hard to manage then, you know. So
it's dicey.
Yeah, get your pricing right from the beginning, you know.
Cool. And because you make all of your own products, I suppose like stock and figuring out what's going to sell a lot and what's not, I'm sure that's been a real kind of process for you.
Yeah, big time. Yes. Well, I'm still learning, you know, because at the moment we have retailers, we're selling shops, the market, and online. So it's very hard to manage all three without a very expensive bit of software that I'm saving for but can't quite afford yet. So in that case, it's just be super tight with your stock levels. You know, it's sometimes you get home after a market and the last thing you want to do is get out your stock file. And mine is just a sheet of paper, you know, simple, but it works. And it's the very last thing I want to do. But by doing it, I save myself so much heartache, you know, just, yeah, it's a bit sort of archaic, you know, but it works.
That's class. And you are someone who uses Instagram and other social media platforms really, really well to actually promote the offline as well as the online.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, a lot of these guys, they're not going to be selling on websites. They're purely going to be selling in person. But what can they do using their online channels to promote their offline channels, if that makes sense?
I think talk a bit more about themselves. You know, I think a lot of people whenever... again, I'd be very focused on our candle companies and stuff that come to the fore. And the one thing I think they do wrongly is just focus about the candles. They kind of forget there's the person behind the business. And I enjoy using social media if I talk more about not candles, about things that aren't the sole focus of what I'm doing, you know. And I think that really helps selling offline too, you know, because people remember you more, you know, because like my dog Teddy, he's like the best marketing tool indirectly I've ever had, you know. People remember me because of him and remember the candles because of him, you know, and that really helps, kind of sticks in people's brains.
Incredible. Michael, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
That's it.
Can you make a noise, would you? Yeah, sniff it.
Don't bite it, Teddy.
Okay, my name's Aoife and I'm a headwear designer based in Derry. I make headpieces and flower crowns for brides, festivals, and just kind of fashion-orientated places.
What advice would you give to young people who are just starting off making products and trying to sell them?
A really important part is if you have a specific product, you need to spend time photographing it and making it look as professional as possible. Because if you just set something in your kitchen and take a photo of it, it's not going to look the same as if you put it nicely lighted and in a good, with a good background and stuff. And I swear by that.
If you're DIYing, so like let's say, you know, you don't have a professional studio or anything like that, what are kind of some best practices to make your photos look unbelievable?
I did this with my young enterprise students.
Yeah.
We were in the classroom and I got two big massive, well, not massive, A3 pages, and I sellotaped them to like a corner, and then somebody had their phone light and somebody else had their phone light. We made like a tiny studio for their website. So, and then they got a proper photograph of their product and they could use it then. For promotional basis.
That's class. And so you've been very successful at selling your products online. You've also been very successful at selling your products offline. You've also got into Topshop. So you're big on social media and you put a lot of effort into your social. But how do you kind of use your online to promote your offline, if that makes sense?
I suppose you need to have a voice. I would say this is why I don't let anybody run my social media page for me. I do it myself. They will answer messages and stuff, but you have to be very fluid with your voice of your business. And that's why I would always drive everything back to come in and see it, or come and have a look, or get in touch, and just try and make it seem as easy as possible for them to come back and reach me. I think sometimes if you just write up random things, it can look good, but you're not really getting the message across as much. So just be really direct with your marketing in that sense.
And what would you say to someone who maybe has never had any interaction with a customer in the real world, and all of a sudden they're at a trade show or they're at a market and they have to actually start selling stuff to real life people for the first time? Like, what advice would you give them?
It is hard, and you have to be confident and you have to just go for it. I struggle with that at wedding fairs. I do a lot of wedding fairs, and people are coming out with flyers and throwing things in everybody's face, and nobody really gets to pitch their product perfectly because there's nobody wants to listen after you've heard it 60 times. I just be myself. And a lot of the time I think if they really like what you want to do, and if you're really natural, then they will go with you and they'll pick you. I wouldn't say be too forceful, because personally I hate that. So I wouldn't do it.
And do you, like, will you stop people? Will you wait for people to come to you? What's your kind of Fisher tactic?
I'll smile. And also I always wear a crown. And try to make myself look. I tend to get alternative brides, or maybe brides that want something slightly different than the norm that you see every day. So I sort of think if I make myself look slightly different than the norm, so maybe wear something kind of a bit extra.
You're kind of becoming your customer.
Yeah. I am my customer. It's quite easy when your target customer is basically you. And again, I'll just smile, and I tend to get a lot of people come over and kind of look at the products because they are kind of eye-catching. So I never really, I'm not standing for too long. Like,
Yeah, really practically, like, how do you kind of manage stock and manage your money on the day and all that sort of kind of?
Well, money on the day, I do the way I did in retail. I learned how to just kind of cash up at the end of the day. It's pretty boring, but it works. Stock is difficult. It's the difficult, really difficult thing, because I don't know whether to make loads of one thing or else loads of different things. And I always find that I always do the wrong thing, and that I always make loads of one thing, and then they're like, oh, can I have this? But with this, at Christmas, at this time of year now, I'm going to make 12 key signature styles and just make a lot of those, because making things to order is extremely time consuming. Not only actually making it, sourcing the materials for everything can become really expensive if you're buying smaller bits of this and small bits of this and small bits of this. So you have to be very organized in your head and know exactly what's happening every day and what you're going to be making.
Cool. And lastly, like, just on the issue of price. So how do you go about kind of deciding how to price your stuff? Because you could go to a market and sell too cheap and sell out like in the first 2 hours, or you could, and you know, maybe overprice yourself and not sell a thing. So how do you find that happy?
I find pricing, find it difficult at the start. I've met with a few people since who've given me really good advice. So it's really easy to just price something and be like, someone would pay £15 for that. Do you know what I mean? And they probably would. You need to make sure you're making your money, but also don't undersell yourself. You know, just because people might say it's expensive, and I've struggled with that for a long time, people coming in and going, oh, it's too expensive. And I'm sitting like, well, I made that. And it can get quite disheartening. But at the end of the day, sometimes people just can't afford it or might not have the money. And that's okay too. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with your product. So I have my a strict guideline that I follow now, which is obviously materials, the time that it takes to make each thing, and then the skills required. So if it's a really easy thing to make, I'm not going to charge a fortune for it. Whereas if I have went and done a course that takes a specific skill to create that piece, then it will be more expensive because that is a niche that I have that maybe some people don't. So it's those three things.
Unbelievable. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
So really simply, who are you and what do you do?
My name is Ross Moffat. I am a senior business development manager for Fleet Financial. My job is to help businesses save money on their transport costs.
Unreal. And so working in that sort of industry with cars, you probably started off selling cars at one point, did you?
Yes. What seems like a lifetime ago, I was with Mercedes-Benz and I sold Mercedes-Benz for 7 years.
Unbelievable. So the young people listening, they're not likely going to be selling cars with a young enterprise company, although if you are, fair play to you.
Yeah.
But what are some general principles of sales and principles of selling that you've picked up over the years that's going to be really helpful for these guys?
So if they're selling one-to-one and they're, it's, you know, eyeball to eyeball, it's all about your meet and greet. So, you know, that's the first impression thing that always counts and will forever count. I don't care what anybody says. It's how you're turned out. It's how you look. It's how you smile at somebody. It's how you present. And it's put your hand out and shake their hand. Hello, sir. How are you? Hello, ma'am. How are you? My name is. Then you get real quick. You need to qualify what they're doing. You need to qualify, do they match what you're trying to sell? If you're selling candles and someone has a fear of matches, then that's not going to work, you know. But if somebody is all about sweet smells and likes aromas, then qualify that, you know. And that could be a sharp question like, I don't know, do you use air fresheners in your home? Sorry? Yeah, I do. Why? Well, this can take this away from you. We've got this lovely new brand new candle. And you can start a sales pitch from there. No chemicals, just candle wax and natural. And you can then start to sell the features and benefits of the product rather than just jumping straight in and saying, do you want to buy a candle? So it's all about that. Meet and greet, qualification, features and benefits, trial close, close them again. That's it in a nutshell.
Okay, so two kind of follow-ups from that. The first one is kind of like the intro. So these guys are going to be in St. George's Market, or they're going to be at trade fairs around the country.
Yep.
And you have a very short space of time to build a rapport and build a relationship with the customer who is effectively a stranger right mm-hmm. in front of you. How do you do that super speed?
You have to know what you're doing. You have to know what you're selling, and you have to believe in what you're selling. And you have to, I know it sounds cliche, but you have to have your elevator pitch. You have to be able to tell them what it is in 30 seconds max, probably 10 really. So get that down pat first and be different. Look different in terms of, I don't put your boxers on outside your trousers or anything, but your stall, your stance, something has to be different so it doesn't fade into the background. You know, be different. If it's a loud, bright product, be loud and proud about it. Don't put it on a black tablecloth and hide behind it. Be loud and proud. If it's something serious, and you know, then be something serious. But be what it should look like, but turn it way, the volume way up.
I love that. Turn the volume way up. Yeah, it's a good quote. And then lastly, I suppose, closing. How do you close a deal? How do you bring that conversation from a conversation into a business transaction?
Ask for it. That's the biggest thing that people don't do. Ask for the business. They're afraid to ask the question. So you can warm them up a little bit. You know, does that sound like something you might want to go for? Yeah. Have we got a deal? Put your hand out. Just be brazen. Have we got a deal? You'll be surprised how many people shake that hand, take that deal, even though they probably maybe weren't even thinking about buying that candle or whatever it was that day, because you've asked for the business. So that is it. Ask for it.
Unbelievable. Ross, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So there you have it. Be visible. Keep it simple. Keep it conversational. And just experiment with lots of different approaches. When it comes to selling, we learn best by doing. And the more we do it, the more confident we'll become in ourselves and the more confident we'll become in our products. Do it enough times and we'll figure out what works and what doesn't. So if you're heading to the big market or anywhere else to sell, I wish you all the best. It's a great experience and one that you can have a lot of fun with as well. So get out there, take your team with you and show the world what you've spent all this time and hard work making and show them what you're made of. Young Entrepreneur is produced by Young Enterprise Northern Ireland, right here in Belfast. The voices you heard today were from local entrepreneurs Aoife Docherty, Michael Morris and Ross Moffat. To submit a question or a short story to the show, please download the Anchor app and send us an audio message telling us where you're from, or also send us an email to podcast@yenny.co.uk. Thanks very much for listening. My name is Matthew Thompson, and I can't wait for you to join us on the next episode that we have simply called Liftoff. Until then, all the best.